Two things that we don't talk about is religion,
yep.
simply because of all the divisions within religion and all the arguments that you're going to get from that and, yep. and politics. And again, it's for exactly the same reasons. We don't want any. What we're trying to do is actually bring all the cultures together. We're not saying, well, you're a Hindu, we're not going to talk about you, you're a Sikh, we'll talk about you, you're a Muslim, we won't talk. What we're doing is talking about all the different cultures, but not really focusing on religion as an aspect of it. It's more cultures. Bindi, obviously, is a cultural thing, so yes, we would talk about that.
Yep.
I mean, Eid is a cultural thing as well as a religious, but we obviously focus on the cultural aspects of Eid. And same with Baisakhi, and same with Diwali, and all these other celebrations. But we definitely stay away from religion and politics.
Yeah.
Those are the two things we would never, but we definitely try and stay away from. I mean, I presume you guys are, you know, coming from the background. Do you see a lot of similar platforms out there? Have you had a chance to have a look at what we do online?
Yeah, I don't think it's interesting that you do focus on taboo things, because like when the only magazines and online places that I've seen, I think things like Asiana, bridal ones and fashion ones, so there's not really anything about lifestyle, so I thought that was really interesting.
Again, they were around when we started as well, and like I said, they were a vertical, they're just talking about fashion, mainly wedding fashion.
Yeah.
So I think one of the reasons why that is because weddings within the Asian community are very lucrative. You know, you can get a lot of different advertising coming from there. You can, lots of sponsors who are willing to sponsor events and your publication through that method. So I think sometimes it comes down to looking at what's going to be more profitable. Should we be talking about sport or taboo issues if we don't think we're going to get revenue from it? And we've seen a number of sites come and go who have tried to do similar kind of things that we're doing, and simply because it's very niche and it's also a very hard. The British Asian audience online is probably the hardest audience to get hold of, simply because you can't go to Facebook and say, okay, I want to target 20,000 Asians in Birmingham or in London, etc., because they don't have a category for Asian or British Asian. You know, you can target by a certain lifestyle kind of areas, but you can't target by British Asian. We can deduce from the content that we're writing about, from the sets of eyes that are looking at our content, that 9 times out of 10 they're going to be British Asian or of Asian descent or interested in Asian culture. So that's quite a lucrative or quite a nice piece of the pie for businesses that have tried to target that audience in the past but haven't successfully done it, simply because there hasn't been a platform big enough or have scaled enough in order for them to promote their products or services on. So, I mean, it's taken 8 years to get there, and we're still growing. We're not where we want to be. But it's probably the largest in the UK for that demographic, so it gives us a good foothold to start monetizing that, rather than trying to monetize 7-8 years ago when we had hardly any audiences looking at our content.
Would you ever want to take the kind of online thing to print? Because print's like a kind of sacred thing. It's nice to see things printed out, I guess.
I mean, we have toyed around with that issue, but simply because, I mean, when we started, there wasn't hardly anything that was like this online at that point.
Yeah.
And even then, print was quite big. You know, 2008, print was quite big. And we are currently speaking to people like Birmingham Mail, The Telegraph, and Guardian, and all these guys, and we talk to them about what they're doing and how they're looking. And if you watch a lot of these newspapers now, they're cutting down their whole print because they're pushing everyone to the apps and getting the content in their hands, because smartphones is obviously the way forward for them. And tablets and all the rise of all the digital tools that we have now. We're definitely not looking at going into print, simply because the whole digital movement and what we're, obviously, the sphere that we've always started in digital.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different, when you're writing for digital, it's completely different to writing for print. You know, you read differently, you look at the pages, you can touch and feel it, you can maybe come back to something, whereas online it's completely, you have 2 or 3 seconds to capture that reader for them to then go and start reading the rest of your article. If you don't capture them through the image, or you don't capture them through the title, then that reader's gone. You know, they spend a second on your page and they've gone somewhere else. So we spend a lot of time in researching and doing analytics around what draws readers in, what images we should be using, what titles work best, what's going to show up in the characters on Twitter or on Google. So when someone does a search, where you're going to be placed and how that would look to a reader to, in order for them to entice that and click that link. So we, hell of a lot of time goes into the content that we produce digitally, so we would probably look at going into print. Although there is different revenue streams that you could start looking at, but then again, you have costs that will probably outweigh that as well.
We considered building an app or maybe even moving into digital print. Obviously, you say that print magazines are not ideal because of the cost element, but then what about actually doing it on a digital platform? Because then obviously it's super cost effective and then you can monetize.
The thing you've got to be careful of is thinking that you don't have to design or you don't have to implement different content into an app, because I believe you do. Because if you have a platform like Disability Online and you have an app, why would you download an app if you're going to get the same content online? Because it's exactly the same. Why would I want to download an app? I can just go online and feel. If I was really into that platform, you might download it, but someone like me who's got zillions of apps already or doesn't like a huge amount of pinging going on, I could just go online and read the same article that I could get on the app. So the way we're looking at it is, if we're going to do an app, we have to have another smaller team who's actually going to write a completely set of different articles. And the advertising within the app has to be interactive. It can't just be a simple banner which take you to another site. It's going to have to be, it'll be a banner that you click on it and someone opens up and speaks to you and does something different, which is an interactive app. So it's not a standard app, because the main thing we'd want to have from an app is downloads. We wouldn't want an app sitting there with 100 downloads, because it makes you look like a small little teeny weeny organization. We'd want a huge amount of downloads, and we want to be able to show the power of what you can actually really do digital. So our idea around an app is actually another team, so 4 or 5 individuals who will actually just make content for that app and will actually just do our own bespoke advertising just for that app. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely looking at doing an app, and we're launching a new version of this. It's on the 10th of March, so that will be the first thing that happens. And then we're looking at introducing a couple of things that we're introducing. One of the things that we're introducing is a jobs board. The reason why we're introducing a jobs board is because the police struggle, the RAF, the fire brigade, apprenticeship programs that I speak to, they all struggle to recruit from the Asian community, and we're going to offer them a platform to enable to talk right to our Asian community. So when they have a job that they want to put out, they can do that through our medium, and we can then obviously open them up to the 300,000 visitors that we receive. Obviously, the businesses would pay for that, but it'd be free for the readers to go and apply for jobs and obviously take those jobs up. We're also introducing a business category on here, simply again because there's a huge amount of businesses out there who constantly saying we need to, we want to advertise, but we want to advertise on a business category because, we want to talk to just business people. So it's segmentation of our readers, and then also a newsletter which then segments back into all our different categories, so we can send out certain articles and certain promotions just to a niche within our niche, which is more targeted for those advertisers. So there's a lot of work we're doing into the new platform. To make our workflow a lot quicker, so our writers can come on and just use one image instead of 3 images. They can simply go in and just input their own articles in half the time. It makes it easier for crawlers to come in and crawl, and easier for social media to come in, and also for our articles to be shared. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to implement before we actually do the app. But the app is on our horizon, and we've already started seeking advertisements within our app to see what kind of response we get before that app's actually introduced.